Hello, welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. Over the last several posts, I've been making a distinction between the gospel, that means salvation, and Christianity, which has to do with discipleship. You see, the gospel is about what Jesus has done, whereas Christianity is the response of a born-again believer to what Jesus has done. The message of the gospel is what turns a heart towards the Lord. Trying to preach or teach how to live as a Christian to people who have not been converted or born again simply makes people religious and dutiful, but not born again. Remember what Jesus said in John 14, "No one comes to the Father except through me." But Jesus also told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 that one must be born again to see and enter the kingdom of God. As born-again Christians, our responsibility is to first know Jesus and then to make him known. In previous messages, I've talked about the gospel as the kingdom, the cross, and the blood. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God on earth, residing, living in the hearts of true believers. The cross is a powerful symbol, but it's also the reality of the forgiveness available to all sinners who put their faith in Jesus. The blood is the seal and the symbol of the new covenant made available to those who believe. And today I'll be looking at the gospel in terms of the name of Jesus. You see, when we use the name of Jesus, we are identifying with him. Our identity is in him. The name of Jesus is about the authority, and that's the Greek word exousia, and the power, or the Greek word dynamis, which we find in the New Testament. These two words are often used interchangeably. So sometimes when you see authority, he's really talking about power, and sometimes when you see power, he's really talking about authority. But these are found in the New Testament, and as believers, we have by faith the right to use the authority that Jesus has and his power against spiritual forces of darkness. See, the name of Jesus is not a magic spell or an enchantment to ward off evil, but it is used as a proclamation that as believers, we have the authority and the power to speak and act as representatives of Jesus Christ. And that's because we believe that we are ambassadors of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20 speaks to that. And if we're ambassadors, then we are here to act as his representatives. Jesus has given us authority to use his name to represent him and to do what he would do on earth. Using the name of Jesus means that we are speaking for and we're wielding or we're using the power and authority of our King, King Jesus. And I encourage you to look at Luke chapter 9, verse 1, and also Luke 10, verse 19. In using the name of Jesus, we are identifying with Jesus himself, that we belong to him and that he belongs to us. You see, we're not ashamed to name Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Now, we use that authority to further his kingdom, the kingdom of God, not our own personal desires. Too often, believers will try to use the name of Jesus to further their own kingdom. We are to use the name of Jesus to seek his face, not just his hands or provisions. You see, if you have him, you have everything you'll ever need. Now, while all power and authority has been given to you, that authority and power is only effective when you believe. Remember Hebrews 11:1 and 11:6. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." You see, we live in a spiritual kingdom, one that is not visible to those that are around us, but we know it's real because Jesus lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And so faith is needed when there is no physical evidence. You see, if you can see it, then you don't need faith. But we are called to walk by faith and not by sight. Hebrews 11:6 points out something very important as well. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, number one, and that he is a rewarder. Hallelujah. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, I know someone once said, I don't know who the person was, but someone once said, faith is impossible unless the will of God is known. And so we need to know what the will of God is for our lives, in our everyday life. Now, how do we know what the will of God is? Well, we learn what his will is through his word, the Bible, and through the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Apostle Paul made a powerful proclamation about Jesus in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. And he says, therefore, God has also highly exalted him, meaning Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit in the believer is very clear and evident, especially in the book of Acts. Remember, the book of Acts is a model of the early church which all believers have available to them. Therefore, it makes sense that the phrase, the name of Jesus, would be so prominent in this book. And I want to take a few moments to go through some examples of the name of Jesus being used in the book of Acts. Remember again, the book of Acts represents the beginning of the Christian church. In Acts, Jesus ascended into heaven and the Holy Spirit descended onto the believers. So it's not surprising that the early Christians understood the significance of ministering in the power and the authority in the name of Jesus. The first example we see is when Peter is preaching the gospel for the very first time. And during that time, 3,000 people came and accepted Christ. And we see in Acts 2, verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's powerful. That is so powerful. And yet it's an example to us, and it's something that we need to model. The second example is when Peter preaches the gospel to an individual and he heals the lame man. So the first case, he's preaching to the multitudes, but in this case, he's speaking to one person, a crippled man. And then Peter says in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And we know that from that moment, that man rose up and he began to walk. See, sometimes we seek the silver and gold instead of seeking that which is so far superior, and that is the relationship with Jesus Christ. The third example is when we find Peter and he's preaching the gospel to the Sanhedrin. Remember, the people were very upset with Peter because he healed that man on the Sabbath. And so he's preaching to the leaders, and he says to them in Acts chapter 4, verse 10, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man stands here before you whole. You see, the healing of that crippled man in Acts chapter 3 became a testimony in Acts chapter 4. And then we see the very same group of people forbidding Peter and John that they were to stop ministering or preaching in the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. In Acts chapter 4, 13 and 18, it says the following. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. They marveled. But then they realized that they had been with Jesus. And so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. What a powerful encouragement to every one of us. that it doesn't depend upon our education, our ability to speak well, or our background, or from where we came from. All that matters is that we know the King. And the King will make sure that he gives us words to speak that will touch the hearts of men and women around us. The fifth example, we see the apostles are arrested for preaching the gospel. And we, of course, we see that happening even today throughout the world. People are being arrested for preaching the gospel, the truth, the message that sets people free. But it says in Acts chapter 5, verse 40, it says, "And they agreed with him that when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, then commanded them they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and then they let them go." But of course you know that the apostles continued to preach in the name of Jesus because they couldn't do anything else. You see, when God touches you, when God heals you, when God restores you, when God makes you new, when God cuts off your past and gives you a bright new future, we can't do anything but praise him and testify of him. The sixth example we find, in this case, Philip is now preaching the gospel, and he preaches the gospel to Simon, the sorcerer. Remember that? The sorcerer, the magician. And he was doing through occult practices, but he saw them healing, ministering healing in the name of Jesus, and he said, I want that. But then it says that in Acts chapter 8, verse 12, "But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, both men and women were baptized." And we find that Simon the magician left behind the old and became new and followed after Christ. The seventh example we see involves Barnabas. And Barnabas is testifying of the Apostle Paul. Now remember, Paul was known as Saul, and he was a persecutor of Christians. He was on his way to Damascus, and on his way he had an encounter which changed his life with Jesus Christ, the risen Christ. And he started preaching Jesus in the name of Jesus. But yet people were a little bit, they were shy of him because they knew that he was a persecutor and now he's a believer. And not everyone was quite willing to accept his testimony. But Barnabas testifies of the faithfulness and the integrity of the Apostle Paul, who became known as the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 9, verse 27, and this is what Barnabas, "But Barnabas took him," meaning Paul, "and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." See, again, doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter what you came from. Doesn't matter what you used to believe. All that matters is that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ today. Then there's an episode, in the eighth example that I have is when the Apostle Paul now commands the spirit of divination out of the slave girl in the name of Jesus. And you can remember that during this time there were many people who were using witchcraft to make money, to make a living, and this young girl was prophesying and following Paul around and just really irritating him and saying things that weren't true and weren't things that Paul wanted to deal with. And Paul finally, in desperation, it says in Acts chapter 16, verse 18, "And this she did for many days," meaning she just followed and harassed Paul. "But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit," see, he didn't say to the girl, said to the spirit that was in the girl, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her," and he came out that very hour. Wow. You see, we have authority. We have power in the name of Jesus. But sometimes we are too shy, we're too reluctant, we're afraid, but we need to be bold as these examples demonstrate. They were bold in spite of disagreement. They were bold in spite of persecution. They were bold in spite of people who probably mocked them and laughed at them. But in the end, people were healed, people were saved, people were set free. So what's been demonstrated for us in the book of Acts is a model of how the body of Christ should advance the kingdom of God on earth today. We should do it with power and authority. See, not just by many words, but with a demonstration of God's power and authority in our lives, because it's been given to us by our Lord. Let me remind you one last time of the great proclamation in Philippians 2:9. And this was written by the Apostle Paul, and he says, "Therefore God has also highly exalted him," meaning Jesus, "and given him the name which is above every name, that at that name, Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and those that are under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's no one else like him. And as the scriptures testify, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord of all. But thankfully, you and I have chosen to accept all that Jesus accomplished on the cross of Calvary. And he now calls us friends. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that? Jesus is your friend and he sees you as a friend. And so I hope this encourages you this day, that we have authority and power in the name of Jesus. We need to proclaim that name. In Jesus' name, you're healed. In Jesus' name, you're set free. In Jesus' name, cast out that demon. In Jesus' name, become more like him every day. Amen. Look forward to seeing you the next time. Again, I encourage you to go to my website. We've got all kinds of free resources available. I'm just blessed to be able to put this material out and make it available to you. I hope you're blessed as well. So until the next time, don't forget to use the authority and the power that you have in the name of Jesus. God bless you.